Heavenly Father, we pray for our time together this morning. As we start this new series, may we be blessed and encouraged by what your word has to teach us. May we find application in our lives, even yet today, of how you want to transform us and change us into the image of your Son. So be with us as you give us guidance and direction. We pray that we would have minds open and willing to receive the truths you have for us. So we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, spiritual gifts. So it seemed pretty fitting to go from spiritual fruits to spiritual gifts because they are so closely intertwined with one another. And there's lots of different ideas about spiritual gifts. And some people have gifts that aren't necessarily gifts, like you see in the cartoon there. And when you're preaching, here's an idea, try making a point. So Ned always believed he had the gift of encouragement, or was it discouragement? So there's lots of questions about spiritual gifts, such as, who can receive spiritual gifts? All believers. Who is supposed to then use them? All believers. Who are we supposed to use them on? Everyone, believer and non-believers, all humanity. Who gets the credit for my amazing gifts, my superhuman abilities I have? Well, of course, God and God alone. It never goes to you or yourself. So who is blessed when I use my gifts? Hopefully others are, if you're using your gifts properly. But you also receive blessing when you use your gift. It's just an unintentional side effect. It just happens that way. So what are spiritual gifts? So here's a pretty generic definition. It's a supernatural filling of the Spirit in an area of your life to enhance a God-given talent you already possess for the sake of building his kingdom for his glory. And you're like, okay, well, what are my spiritual gifts? Well, I don't know, I'm not you. But it's anything that you are led to do in the Spirit that gives God glory. It fulfills you for the purpose for why you were created in the first place, and it is a joy for you to do. It should never be a burden to use your spiritual gifts. And believe me, other people will tell you if what you're doing is a gift or not. You think, I think I have this gift. And people are like, oh, no, you do not. You do not have that gift. Uh-uh. So where can spiritual gifts be used? Anywhere and everywhere. They were never designed to be used within the walls of a church only. That is such a sad place to only use your gifts. You're certainly encouraged to use them here, but it should certainly go well beyond the walls of this building. And where can I find them? Well, of course, you find them in God's Word. Specifically, there's four different lists in God's Word. You see one in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. You see two different ones in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 8 to 10 is the first list, and 28 to 30 is the second list, and Ephesians chapter 4 and 11. And so where do I receive my gifts? Well, you receive your gifts through humility, through prayer, through willingness and openness to receive them from the one who so generously wants to give to you. So when can spiritual gifts be used? Well, anytime. Again, they weren't designed to be used for an hour on Sundays and on some Wednesday nights. They're designed to be used 24/7, 365. Some of you might be thinking, well, when will I be ready to use my gifts? Don't I have to have a doctorate in theology and be as mature as humanly possible before I even start to use my gifts? No, the second you understand what they are, it's like anything else. You will grow and mature the more you use them. like any other talent you possess. So why does God even give us spiritual gifts? Because he is a loving God who created us for this very purpose, to show his love and his kindness to all. And why should I then use them? Why should I use my gifts? I'll put it to you this way. If you stand there with your fists closed, there's no way to put anything in it. Whoever freely gives also freely receives. The more you use your gifts to bless others, the more God will bless you. So how does God give us spiritual gifts? In a couple different ways. First, he gave us his Son, who then freely gives us his Spirit, as revealed to us through his Word. He's given everyone in this room life. Everyone has some natural abilities that we possess. We're all made up of all different kinds of life experiences that make us who we are, and that's good or bad. God uses every single experience you have, good or bad, to leverage you to use the gifts that you possess that he wants to enhance through his Spirit. And you use those gifts humbly, never braggingly or in your own power. You use God's Spirit so he gets the glory, so you can bless others and not make a big noise about doing it. Oh, look what I did for you. I'm so amazing. That's not a gift. Something interesting happens when you use your spiritual gifts for God's glory and the benefit of others. Something that we spent 3 months going through happens when you use your spiritual gifts. You bear spiritual fruit. In John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. When you use your spiritual gifts, you show the world love, what true love is and looks like, so they can understand where joy and peace actually come from and what those are based on in an eternal grand picture. Your spiritual gift can promote and show patience, kindness, God's goodness. It can show your faithfulness to the one who's given you that gift. You can go in a spirit of gentleness as opposed to a spirit of anger or frustration or rage. And you can do it completely under God's control. So there's lots of ideas about spiritual gifts. How do we get them and what are they? Well, there's some ways you can get them and there's some ways that I'm not so sure are the right way to get them. So this is not the best quality image, but you'll get the idea. Francis, are you ready? You want something? Take it! I'm just an act. You want it? You want it? Take it! You want it tonight? Take it! Apollo, who knows? Take it! Oh, take it! Take it! Take it! I'm Apollo, who knows? The anointing of the Holy Ghost! Now, don't worry, I'm not going to knock you over. Or many of you probably have heard of Benny Hinn.
Take your vacancy, Mante Rebo.
I read some of the comments with these videos, and one of them said these guys should start a bowling league because they're really good at knocking people down like pins. They might not even need a ball. They could just take their jackets and wave, and all the pins would knock down. But in all seriousness, look at the amounts of people that are there and willingly participating in what they think they're receiving something from the Spirit. And of course, in some churches, there will be massive prayer with everybody standing up and praying in tongues. In fact, not that long ago, just about a week or so ago, they had a tent revival where you could go witness miracles and healings happening right before your very eyes. And this is, like I said, this is just about a week ago. At a Pentecostal church, they have some things out there for the people. One is wine for communion. One is olive oil for blessings. And one is a bottle of poison, strychnine. Here's the pastor of that handling a timber rattlesnake. Don't worry, I won't be handling any snakes up here. I know some of you are petrified of snakes, and I'm not going to be holding snakes up here. In that same service, here's one of their congregants drinking strychnine from a cup. And so in all seriousness, there's a lot of confusion about spiritual gifts out there. How you get them, how you use them, what are they? And a lot of people have been led astray. So on a lighter note, who do you think you are, God's gift to the church? Well, yes. In fact, we all are God's gift to the church. Or how about Myrna here, who is sad to learn that the gift of gab is not a spiritual gift. Blah, blah, blah. Or the crystal ball has spoken, and your spiritual gifts are pet grooming and internet browsing. Or Snapchat and Facebook or whatever. Or what if strong opinions with biting sarcasm is my spiritual gift? Poor Leonard, that's not your spiritual gift, Leonard. Like I said, there's quite a list of spiritual gift in Scripture. If you kind of cross-reference all these lists, there's about 22 different spiritual gifts that Scripture lists. And we'll go through them one by one. We'll dig in and find as much detail as we can about every single gift. Some are fairly specific and some are fairly general. I mean, helps, service, that kind of encompasses everything. But we'll look at the Greek language, we'll look at every single word, and we'll discover a lot more to it than what we see in our simple English translations. So today we're just kind of setting up an introduction to this message. We're going to look at some guidelines as we go through spiritual gifts. A lot of these guidelines are in verses just before those gifts are listed. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1, Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." Basically, I do not want you to be misled or taken astray. I want you to know what your gifts are so you can actually use them. Because if you don't know what it is, you're never going to do it. How can you do something you don't know what it is? So it's crucial to understand what the gifts are and which ones you possess. Otherwise, you're never going to use them. At least you're not going to use them correctly. He says you need to know it because you were so easily led astray. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute or dumb idols, however you were led. This has gone on since the beginning of time. Later on, in the second letter to the Corinthians that we have, chapter 11, verse 3, he says, I'm afraid that the serpent who deceived Eve by his cunning, through your thoughts, you will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Or in Isaiah 53, verse 6, it says, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We've left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Or even in the book of Jonah, those who worship false gods turn their backs on all of God's mercies, all of his blessings, all of his love. He's like, I want you to know what the gifts are, and I don't want you to be led astray from them. He says, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. This is not just a verbal recognition, because everybody can say Jesus is Lord, but not everybody can live it. So is Jesus the Lord of your life? He's not your get-out-of-hell ticket free card. That's not who he is. He certainly can get you out of there, but that's not the point of why he came. So look, these are all A's. They're all AAs. So does he have absolute authority over your life? Or are you still holding on to the reins? Does he have your absolute attention? Or is he a side note or a footnote in your life? And does he have absolute autonomy or control over your life? That's what it means to say Jesus is Lord. He has absolute authority, your absolute attention, and absolute autonomy over your life. Only in the Spirit can you say that and live that. Our spiritual life is not just words that we can say. Anybody can say them, but you need to actually live them. He continues in 1 Corinthians 12 by saying there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. I'm so glad we don't all have the same gift. That would be so boring. There's a multitude of gifts available that are completely different, but it does not cause division. All the gifts are different, but cause unity, actually. Just like there's different gifts, the same Spirit, there's varieties of service, but the same Lord. Billy Graham says, the highest form of worship is the worship of unselfish Christian service. The greatest form of praise is the sound of consecrated feet seeking out the lost and helpless. We're all working towards the same goal with the same person leading us, who is Lord over our life. There's a variety of activities. Notice how he phrases these things. Same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God. Spirit, Son, Father. All three are linked together here. One is a gift, one is a service, one is an activity. They're all linked together. There's varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. All three of those things promote and pursue unity in Jesus. That's why you have your gift. It's not to be different. Your gift is to build unity in the believers, to build God's kingdom. We are given this manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It's not for your own amazing life. As amazing as you are in God's image, you are given gifts for the good of others. Here's a gift from someone, or a quote from somebody who mentions this. This is a really profound statement from someone who painted what I think are kind of some funny-looking paintings. I guess they're unique. It's Pablo Picasso. He was raised as a Spanish Catholic. He's noted for being a non-believer. And he says, the meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give it away. That's pretty profound. Because God created you to show you and give you gifts so you could then give them away to others. In 1 Corinthians 7, a few chapters back, verse 7, Paul says, I wish that all were as I myself am. That's kind of an interesting thing to say. I wish that everybody was like me. Well, that's whatever, but everyone has their own gift from God, one of a kind and one of another kind. So, we're not clones. Everyone in this room is uniquely designed and different from anybody else in this room. Even if three of you have the same gift, you have it in different amounts and will use it in different ways, which makes you completely and totally unique. You are not an accident. In Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So if you're making a list about yourself, you ever done this, made your list? Oh, okay, I have these pros and I have these cons. I have these things going for me, but these things I struggle with, I seem to have good and bad. And when you're making this list, never overestimate who God created you to be. But at the same time, do not underestimate who God created you to be. If you're trying to understand who God created you to be, it's always based on the measure of faith you have. So the amount of faith that you have will be similar to the amount of knowledge that you have, and vice versa. The more knowledge you get, the more faith you'll have. They kind of work together. And that knowledge hopefully turns into wisdom and a greater understanding of who you are. The more faith you have, the more you can use your gift. The more you can understand who God created you to be. As individualized as that is, we're all still part of one body. Again, there's many members, and the members do not all have the same function. Just look at our own body as an example. There's all different kinds of functions in our body. Some you don't think are that important until they're missing. You think, I don't need my big toe. Oh, that's just a big toe. It's incredible what some people who have lost their big toes, how much it impacts their balance and ability to do things. Just one little thing missing. It has a huge impact on the body. It's the same thing in the body of Christ. Even if you're an elbow or a big toe or some other body, you might not think you're that significant. You are critical to the entire body. Understanding that, of course, Christ is the head. And he's like, well, we're unified in one body. There's many different members. But he says we're even individually members of one another. So Christ unifies all believers into one body. And that one body, that one member is part of that body which benefits all of the members. So there's this unity. There's this great amount of difference. But it brings more unity. That's just how those gifts work. And we all have gifts that differ according to whatever grace has been given to us. And he's like, let us use them. So God is full of grace. His grace is never deserved. It's never earned. It's always freely offered. Because of that, we can freely reject it, or we can freely accept it. It's up to us. And so your gift is determined upon your faith and God's grace given to you. And then he said in Romans there, use them. So by God's grace, you have gifts. It's not you might get them someday. You have gifts. So get to work and actually use them. In Proverbs chapter 6, we learn about those who are lazy and don't want to use them. And Solomon tells the sluggard, the lazy person, to consider the ant and be wise. the one who is extremely, ants are always busy doing something. Whether they're trying to get in and steal your picnic or whatever they're doing, they're always trying to do something. Constantly working and using. In 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As God's steward, or as good stewards of God's varied grace. So, God gives us gift to serve others, not so we can point to ourselves. Do not get this t-shirt. If you have a t-shirt that says, check out my gifts, I'm amazing, with a little emoticon pointing to himself and smiling, I'm going to ask you to put another shirt on. But that's not for our own benefit. It's for serving others. You could probably see this best explained in a parable of being a good steward of God's gifts. The parable of the talents. We're going to call it the parable of the gifts because it pretty much means the same thing. So the parable of the talents is found in Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. What's the kingdom of heaven like? Well, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. He gave them gifts to look after. And he gave them different amounts of gifts as they were able. So to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To each according to his ability, then he went away. This is exactly in line with God's spiritual gifts. God has entrusted with us spiritual gifts as we're able. Some of us have more, some of us have less. It doesn't matter. You're not in a competition with the person who has more or to brag about the person who has less. That's not the point of your gift. So then we see whoever had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more. And so also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. So after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. He's like, okay, let's see how well you did with the gifts I gave you. I entrusted you with all these gifts as you were able to use them. I knew who you 3 were. I knew you had varying abilities, so I gave the one who had the most faith, the most gifts, and so on. So how did you do with what I gave to you? The one who received 5 talents came forwards, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents here. I have made 5 talents more. He didn't say, oh, I made 5 more, so here's 1 for you. I'll keep 4 for myself. You can have 6. I'll keep 4. He's like, no, you can have all of them. He gave all of them back to the master. So the master says to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enjoy or enter into the joy of your master. He also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents, but here I have made 2 talents more. Again, he gives them all. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Notice they both get the exact same commendation, even though one gave him more than the other. They were both entrusted with what he gave to them. They both gave all back to him and had an increase. They bore fruit from what they were given. And the guy who had the 1 talent apparently got his shovel and went back and dug it up and said, Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. What's he saying about his master? That he's deceitful. That his master is an evil man. It's like, well, so I was afraid of you. So I just went and hid what you gave me, and I dug it up, and here it is. Just take it back. It was worthless to me. I had no use for it. But his master answered and said, you wicked servant, This is what you think of me. You thought that I would reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Is that what you really think of me? And even if that's what you thought of me, you could have at least put it in the bank. I could have at least gotten interest from what I gave. You could have made at least a teeny bit more and bore some fruit from what I gave to you. But since you did nothing, this talent will be taken away from you and given to one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will more be given. He will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. He will be cast into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So that's the parable of the talents. So, are we burying our gifts? Do we not even know what our gifts are? Do we recognize the grace and faith God has entrusted us with, understanding the gifts that he's given to us, and are we using them to bear fruit? Well, we're going to go on a journey here, and we're going to discover God's treasure together. So we're going to dig in and discover, why do I exist? Why am I here? How can I use the culmination of who I am for God's glory and the benefit of others? Everything you have is for the benefit of somebody else, to be given away. It's not so you can make a name for yourself or ministry for yourself. It is always pointing towards somebody and someone else. So as we go through the spiritual gifts, I hope you will understand and discern what areas that you are strongest in, because that's your ministry. Everyone in this room has a ministry. Twin Lakes Bible Church exists for everyone in it to be used. It doesn't exist so that I can get a paycheck and stand up here and talk. Trust me, I don't like talking that much. I don't like talking at all, to be honest, but here I am. So, I'm using what gifts God has given me to try to bless you, to encourage you to use your gifts to bless and encourage others, so we can all build the kingdom of God with God himself as the head of this entire organism. You've never understood the spiritual gifts, I hope you do by the end of this. We're going to go through every one as painstakingly as we can to understand exactly what they are. And trust me, you will be strong in more than one area. You have more than one spiritual gift. And the ones that you're weakest in, if you come around somebody else who has that gift as well, you will get stronger in it. It's just the way, it's a beautiful picture of this organism all working together for the unity and benefit of all. So I encourage you to come back next week as we start to dig into each individual spiritual gift. Heavenly Father, again, we give you thanks for today. We thank you for your word that you've given to us, your Son and his sacrifice for us, your Spirit and how it empowers and guides and directs us. We pray for transformation in all of us, that we know you, are willing to humbly serve you in whatever respects we can, that we can use whatever God-given abilities we have, that the Spirit comes alongside to strengthen and encourage and to nurture and to grow for the benefit of blessing others, showing them the love that you possess, being of full use to you for why we were created in the first place. We give you thanks for today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.